In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's fitting, as I conclude my 6 years at St. Philip's, to meet St. Philip again in today's Gospel. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." As we know, people come to church for a range of reasons. Some value community, some tradition. Others are seeking some spirituality in secular times. In another parish far from here, across the lake, an apparently quite distinguished parish council chairman once told me that he came to church for the music and to keep his wife happy. But there are still people who come to church like those Greeks in today's gospel, looking to see Jesus. And what will they find? Well, they'll find us. They'll find a small gathering of Christians assembled to hear the word and to celebrate the Eucharist. And this is precisely where they're going to see Jesus, if he's to be seen anywhere at all. What a remarkable thing for the Eucharistic community to be given such a gift and such a task. But there it is. However, the Greeks looking for Jesus in today's gospel were about to get more than they bargained for. Perhaps they thought that Jesus would be like a Greek philosopher, proclaiming a stable Greek cosmos, a static tableau of settled meaningfulness, a still vision to set against a tumultuous world. If so, many people are still looking for something like that today, hoping that Jesus might give them such comfort, such security. But instead, their arrival and their question to Philip sounded an alarm. The Jesus they meet would instead disrupt worldly security and stability. He would challenge ideological certainties. He would withhold an entirely satisfying closure. Instead, the tableau would become a drama. The festival of Passover would become the struggle of Holy Week, Good Friday, and Easter. While the Jesus they thought would turn out to be nothing less than a Greek philosopher would turn out to be more than that, a divinely ordained bringer of a very different vision of reality. Not a bringer of uncritical peace, but the judgment of our false peace, turned upside down by the cross that shows up just how the world is. Not an escape from evil and violence and death, but instead the overcoming of evil and violence and death by going right up through the middle of it and out the other end. That's what Jesus lifting up on the cross means, and that's how Jesus is still drawing people to himself. Our epistle reading today from Hebrews makes clear that Jesus' work is actually God's work through Jesus' life, through his flesh, through his suffering solidarity in keeping with God's uncompromising love. And Hebrews admits today that this is a hard teaching. We may prefer something softer, more familiar, friendlier, even chattier from our life in the church. But instead, at the heart of what summons us here is God's outreach to humanity through Jesus Christ. A church born in God reaching out through the Eucharist rather than from our spiritual aspirations, our good intentions. Indeed, Hebrews today draws a contrast between the children's milk and the adults' solid food in explaining what we're doing here. This isn't primarily sociology. It isn't primarily even about inclusive community. This is theology, and this is God's mission, with a call to maturity that requires us to grow in our spiritual dietary expectations. But friends, very importantly, none of this is meant to be harsh or threatening simply because it's all-encompassing and perhaps more full-on than our usual way of thinking about the Christian life. In our Jeremiah passage today, the seriousness of this commitment is presented in very personal and very intimate terms. It's about a law written on our heart, rather than something external and imposed and alien that we might get sick of and fall away from. Something we can trust and own and inhabit. Something that becomes part of us as we come to know God and to know ourselves as God's people, as God's friends. Now finally, as you probably know, this isn't only my last Sunday at St. Philip's, but this also marks my last act of public ministry in the Anglican Church after nearly 36 years as a priest. In the Easter season, Lisa and I will be received into the Roman Catholic Church, and I'll begin a formal process of discernment with a view to being ordained as a Catholic priest, in the place where all my spiritual instincts as a Catholic-minded Anglican have long been drawing me. And in fact, that formal process begins tomorrow when I undergo a psychological examination. The first one I've ever had, which explains a lot. So you'll permit me a little personal story to tie up what I've been trying to say to you today and thus to take my leave of the Anglican pulpit. Once before, just over 40 years ago, in my early 20s, as a new ordination candidate at St. Francis Theological College in Brisbane, I very, very nearly left at that point to join the Catholic Church and to pursue priestly ordination there. And at that time, it was more specific than that, it was to join the Dominican Order, the Black Friars, the Order of Preachers. Can't do that now, I'm married and I'm too old, but which has its advantages. I mean, that is the marriage, but we'll leave that there. Now, I was electrified to discover at that time, that 8 centuries old community of scholar preachers with their motto that could have been my motto, to contemplate and share the fruits of your contemplation with others. Now, while I eventually drew back at the time, because the brand new Pope in those days, John Paul II, was banning all the Catholic theologians who I liked to read. So staying with the Anglican Church, a priestly calling to theologically informed preaching, teaching and writing took hold of me in my early 20s, and it shaped my whole life ever since. So this step that I'm finally taking certainly is not a hasty one. I see it as seeking to follow more closely and to go more deeply into the vision that's always guided me. In today's psalm portion, I see an echo of that vision in which I found my own joy and my life's work, and where I hope in the Catholic Church I might continue in active ministry for many more years as a priest, preacher, and theologian. That way, I can continue the surprising and unexpected encounter with Jesus that those Greeks at the festival would have discovered, and which I first discovered as a small boy when I came to the church like they did, looking to see Jesus. And ever since, by the grace of God and with a thankful heart, I've been able to make the words of today's psalm my own. With my lips I have been telling all the judgments of your mouth, and I find more joy in the way of your commands than in all manner of riches. I will meditate on your precepts and give heed to your ways, for my delight is wholly in your statutes, and I will not forget your word.